The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Christ says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Devin, Simric, Grady, Jacinda. 7 years ago, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, 12, 13 years ago, around this font, or a font like it, in some church somewhere, your parents gathered, your baptismal sponsors gathered, and you were there. Grandparents were in the pews, friends and family prayed, a congregation sung a song that we call God's power, God's majesty, God's blessing. A minister came, and he or she questioned your parents. They asked your parents to answer questions on your behalf, to join with God in a covenant. In your baptisms, God has promised to do something, and your parents promised to respond likewise. They promised to faithfully bring you to the house of God's worship. They promised to teach you the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments. They promised to place into your hands a copy of the Holy Scriptures. They promised to inculcate into you morality, a desire for justice, a desire for peace, a knowledge of good and evil, of darkness and light. And throughout the years, you have grown. Your parents have tried to live with those promises, to bring you to church, to teach you the importance of prayer, before meals, before bedtime, before activities, before life events. And now as you enter into young adulthood, they bring you on Saturdays to confirmation. And for 2 years, we have gathered for 8 hours on Saturdays. We've prayed, we've talked, we've learned, and I pray that we've all grown. And today, you come here, you four, to continue in this great work that God and your parents began with your baptism. And you come, and you will gather here, and you will look out into the congregation, and you will pledge before God, before me, as a representative of God, before your parents, your baptismal sponsors, this congregation, in reality the world, you will confess that Christ is Lord. That you believe in God the Father. That you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That you believe you are gifted with the Holy Spirit. That this is real for you. That your baptisms were not null and void. That you were equipped, that you were blessed, and that God has walked with you throughout the days of your life. This is confirmation. It is not an ending. It is not even a beginning. But it is a part of the process of the Christian life. You are stepping out now as adults. Your parents have taken you this far. They have mentored you. They have loved you. They have taught you. They have encouraged you. And they will continue to do that. But now you also take responsibility for your choices. What role God will have in your life. Will you pray? Will you keep your moral compass? Will you strive for those things of God rather than for the things of darkness? Now the question falls on your shoulders. A lawyer comes to Jesus and says, Christ, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the lawyer answers Christ and says to Christ, there are two great commandments. What Christ is saying, everything hangs on this. If you get these two things right, you've got the rest in the rearview mirror. There are two great commandments, Christ says. Put these front and foremost. Tattoo these on your arm. Scroll these on your wall. Put this on your iPhone, Christ says. These are the two great commandments. Everything else falls below them. What are they, the lawyer says? The first commandment, Christ says, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Okay. And then Christ goes on. The second command is like it. Remember that one? What is it? Thank you. Thank you, Simba. To love your neighbor as yourself. Today, Sunday, May 10th, you gather here to live out the first commandment. You will gather here and you will proclaim Christ as Lord. You will proclaim the gifting of the Holy Spirit. You will proclaim a knowledge of God. You will proclaim the gift of faith. You will serve to love God. You will make God present in your life known. Claim it to your parents, as I mentioned, baptismal sponsors, grandparents, this congregation, and any strangers that may have wandered in off the street. In fact, the windows are open. Who knows who will hear you? Love the Lord God with all your heart. I don't mean to minimize this. But think about this. What you're going to do today, it's important. What you're going to do today is meaningful. What you're going to do today is necessary. But I don't think it takes a ton of courage. You've come here Sunday morning. You're in church. We talk about God here. We pray here. We sing hymns here. This is a church. It's a safe place. It's a comforting place. Your parents, your friends, your grandparents, your sponsors, they've gathered here to see you do this. We rehearsed it last night. Everyone knows what's coming. To stand here and proclaim Christ is Lord doesn't take a great deal of courage. I know, I was like you. I was in a confirmation class of 10 people. And I remember sitting in my pastor's office 10 minutes before worship, listening to him talk, and thinking, you know what? Most of them are just faking it. They're making mom and dad happy, grandma or grandpa happy. And they came and they proclaimed that, yes, I reject Satan. Yes, I reject the things of darkness. Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Yes, I believe that Christ was raised from the dead 3 days later after His death. Service was over. They stood for a few pictures. They went out the door. And they didn't think about it again. And while I'm not in touch with them right now, they might not still be thinking about it. Christ is Lord. What does that mean? Christ is Lord over the world. Christ is Lord over your lives. Christ is Lord over creation. Christ is Lord over our decisions. And if Christ is Lord, Christ sets the guidelines for what is good and for what is evil. Today you will leave here. And you will go to school. You will go to a sporting event. You might find yourself in a basement somewhere. You might find yourself in the back seat of a 98 Camaro. And there, you will be asked to proclaim, is Christ Lord? And that is where the courage will come. To stand here in a church full of faithful Christians, full of loving family members, and say Christ is Lord does not take a great step in courage. But to leave here, to go into a world that celebrates so much that is not good, profanity, sexuality, drugs, violence, and celebrates the sinful things of pride, pleasure, power, wealth, to go into that world, to leave the safe confines of these walls, to leave the safe confines of your parents' house, to go into that world. And you will find it everywhere. To go into that world and proclaim Christ is Lord takes courage. To say no to an activity that everybody is doing. To stand up for someone being marginalized. To engage in your classmates, in your workmates, in your friends, in your teammates, in a relationship of love and respect instead of one of power and domination. Who's the most popular? Who's the most handsome? Who's the most pretty? Who's the most wealthy? Who has the best stuff? To eschew those things that the world values so highly and hear the words from 1 John that God is love. And we are to exhibit that in our relationships. To hear those words and live them takes courage. Because it can feel lonely. It is tough to sit at home Saturday night when all your friends are having the time of their life. But you have to make a choice sometimes. Is that time of your life not God-pleasing? God's not a downer. God's not a bummer. In fact, we hear today in the Gospel of John that God wants you to have abundant life. That as you love, that as you work to serve God, as you work to serve others, God will multiply your blessings. As we're told, God will trim or prune the dead parts, the parts that are withering, so new, more vibrant, healthy, whole parts can come up, that they can flourish in your life. New relationships of joy, new relationships of love, new relationships of plenty, of support, of mutuality. This is the good news for us today. That God has something better for us. That God has offered us something greater than the world could ever hope to offer us. God offers us love. God offers us support. God offers us blessing. The world offers us thrills. The world offers us pride, prestige, and wealth. But those things are all fleeting. One bad investment, the wealth is gone. One earthquake, the house crumbles. One car accident, the car is totaled. One round of job cuts, the job is gone. One disfiguring accident, the beauty fades. These things are all temporary. It is love that is eternal. The love of friendship, a true friendship. Not friendship built on the things of the world, but Christian friendship, built on love, on fellowship, on collegiality. These things are eternal. Faith is eternal. The Holy Spirit is eternal. This is the good news for us. This is the word of encouragement that Christ offers us in today's gospel reading. Christ says, I am the vine. I am that strong root. And you are the branches. And as a vine, as a strong root, I provide the nourishment. I provide the sustenance. I provide what you need to grow, to flourish, to be healthy. That's the word of encouragement. That we're connected to Christ. We're growing, we're flourishing, we're healthy, and we're providing for the world. For what does the branch do? It provides fruit. It provides shade. It also provides new trees through dropping seeds, through protection of others. But Christ says, and here's the warning. That's the good news. Here's the as we say in confirmation, the gospel and the law. That's the gospel, the good news. The law is, if you're not bearing any fruit, if you're being a really poor branch, you will wither and die. You will be pruned off from the main vine. Now people read that and say, that's pretty mean of God. God's going to prune me off. I have a few bad days. You know, I kick the dog a bit. I yell at my neighbor. I'm kind of rude to my classmate. God's going to cut me off, and I'm going to wither and die and be thrown into what? The eternal flames of fire. That's bad news. If you take anything away from confirmation, know the eternal flames of fire are bad news. But it's not God pruning us off. Truth of the matter is, we prune ourselves off the vine. Slowly. We wither on the vine. We stop attending church. You know, we get busy. We get jobs. We get different ideas. We don't hold any bad feelings towards church. It's just not for us. Okay. Christmas, Easter, maybe I'll show up. I know where it is. I'm still a member. Yada, yada, yada. We start to wither a bit. We're not connected to a fellowship anymore. We don't hear God's word proclaimed. We're not challenged on Sunday mornings. We don't pray together. We don't connect with one another. We miss the opportunities for servanthood, to support one another and to support the community. We start to wither a bit. And then you know what? We hang around people who don't pray a whole lot. They seem pretty happy, so we kind of start praying a bit too. We're out in public, we don't want to pray before our meals. We get busy, no time to pray before bed. Life's really hectic, no time to pray in the morning. Pretty soon we're just saying a few Hail Mary prayers before finals and big events. And we start to wither a little more on the branch. We lose our connection with Christ. Then we start to make choices. Choices that pull us away from God, as the Gospel of John says, light and darkness. Choices that pull us more into the darkness, into the gray area of life. Well, it brings me pleasure and no one's getting hurt. I might as well do it. And pretty soon, Christ's no longer Lord in our life. Either we've made ourselves our own God, and we decide what is right and wrong. We decide what makes us happy. We decide what makes us sad. We decide what thrill we'll chase. Or someone else is our God. Someone else that tells us, yeah, go ahead and do that. You should buy that. You should see him. You should see her. You should do this. And pretty soon, we choked ourselves off from the vine. We no longer experience the two-way street with God. The nutrients, the sunlight does not flow back and forth. And we wither and we die. And it happens all too often. It happens far too easily. It doesn't happen bang one day. You don't wake up one morning and say, what a sham. This is all a big house of cards. Pastor Sheldon's just a swindler. The church, bunch of hypocrites. What a load. No. It doesn't happen that way. It happens slowly. Through little decisions by little decisions by little decisions. And pretty soon, every one of those small steps gets you farther and farther away from Christ. It gets you farther and farther away from recognizing Christ as Lord. And it gets you farther and farther away from fulfilling the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. And pretty soon, you feel all alone. And the good news is, if that ever happens to you, and let's be honest, it happens. If that ever happens to you, God is there. Christ is there. We are here. You will make promises today. You will live them in the world. And I'll make promises today, and this congregation will make promises today, your parents will make promises today, your baptismal font, lots of promises going around. And we will be there for each other. Because God is faithful. As we hear today, God is love, and God loves you. Amen.